Alexa, how do you bury a body?
If the death is expected, call the police non-emergency number and a funeral home of your choice. For an unexpected death, call 911.
In this case, it might be expected.
Hi, you're listening to How to Bury a Body, episode 6.
It's been a little while, but we're getting back into the swing of things. I know I said that last time, but things are still a little bit crazy. I know they probably are for you too, so we won't go into that, but today we're talking about 64 different death omens. Are they real? Or are they folklore? Is folklore real? Is it based in reality? These are just some of the questions we're going to broach today on today's episode. Disclaimer, take all of these with a grain of salt. Death omens are mostly unfounded and they don't apply to every situation. If this article uses words such as, quote-unquote, you will die, just know that this is according to legend or folklore, and I mean to say supposedly, and it's likely not the truth. But isn't it fun to wonder if it is? It's interesting to know what different cultures around the world have conjured up to try and predict death. The fact may be that we just aren't meant to know. But that doesn't stop us from trying. And is something out there trying to help us prevent death? That's for you to decide. After watching Dr. Sleep the other night, not a huge fan. It was all right. A little cheesy. Let me know what you think in the comments if you're listening to this. I started thinking about how the cat in the movie laid on the bed whenever a patient was going to die. That was pretty early in the movie, so it's no spoilers or anything. But I started thinking, do animals have an extrasensory perception of when we're going to leave this world? And do they have this for humans only, or is it for every species? And why would they gravitate towards us anyway if they did know this was going to happen? After all, cats themselves, when they're about to die, they go off on their own so that they can be alone when they pass away. So why would they want to be with us? Of course, these questions are unable to be answered, but that's why they're fun to ask. We won't know the answers until after death, and even then, it's possible we won't know anything at all. However, for some masochistic reason, our brains have been wired to question everything around us. Humans have wondered about death as long as people have been dying. And while we've gotten more medical answers about what causes certain deaths through autopsies and the like, it doesn't explain how, for instance, someone across the country would see the lights flicker and just know that their loved one has died. Is it possible there's something in the universe that energetically tells us when someone is going to die? If there is, can these serve as warnings? Should they serve as warnings, really? If you're not trying to cheat death, what should you do if you see a death omen? Oh, by the way, I wanted to talk about this because I'm at Beth Omens on Instagram, shameless plug, but that rhymes with death omens, and it just wouldn't be right if I didn't do an episode. There's also a blog post up on getcurrent.org/post/death-omens, obviously. Anyhow, what should we do if we see death omens? Are they only there when we're looking for them? It's kind of, you know, a reminder of the situation you're going through, or just something that manifests out of the energy you're putting out? All of the aforementioned are possible. Anything is possible. Let's dive into the many superstitions surrounding death and precognition. Keep in mind that most of these are of unknown origin, or I just know a general origin from my research as far as country goes, but they've likely changed throughout the times and across cultures. This is a semi-complete list of death omens that roughly covers all the wacky and sometimes inexplicably believable signs that death may soon be upon you, or those close to you. If they're real or not, well, that's up for you to decide. So let's talk briefly about those origins that I mentioned. Omens are thought to be telltale signs of the future, and they usually come with a negative connotation. Think the movie The Omen. As far as I can tell, they originated in folklore. Folklore is often thought of as synonymous with myth or fairy tale or something that's just not true. But there is a quite different definition for the word when you look into it. Folklore consists of traditional customs, tales, sayings, dances, or art forms preserved among a people. Only through the way that we've talked about it has it become an often unsupported notion, story, or saying that is widely circulated. After all, if something doesn't have evidence that isn't purely anecdotal, we shouldn't blindly believe it. That being said, though, without proper documentation available throughout our ancestors' history, how are we to know what oral traditions or stories are fact and what are fiction? Aren't all stories based on some semblance of truth? I suppose it's like playing the telephone game, or maybe a witness in a crime that goes to testify it in court. Everything gets a little twisted the more mouths it passes across and the more ears it whispers into. However, there are so many religions and ideologies that are based on even less, and people pour their faith into these practices. Why should we discredit the accounts of these people? The following death omens are likely hearsay and most likely twisted, but I believe that they originated from someone's own experience at some point in time. Whether that be truthful or not can only be decided by the person that first experienced it. In any case, if you see any of these death omens, pay close attention to the happenings in your life soon after. That's not to say you should live your life in fear, because as you will see, there are a whole lot of death omens to keep track of. Let me know what you think, and if you've experienced one of these death omens. Have you experienced something not on this list? I would love to have some guests on the How to Bury a Body podcast talking about their own precognitive stories that foretold a death near them. Obviously, we can't get someone that foretold their own death unless, you know, you evaded it that way. But is that a healthy way of living? I don't think so, in my opinion, but maybe you could change my mind. Do we want to know our time of death? That's something that is explored in movies and books and research throughout history. Personally, I don't like spoilers. Now onto the death omens. It's going to be in list format. Maybe I'll leave a timestamp in the show notes that tells you when they start, because this has been 8 minutes just kind of introducing them. But just know that I am obviously English speaking, so most of the omens that I have found derive from English-speaking countries, or they've been adapted into the English language. I'll try to list the origins of the death omens as I go along as much as possible, but sometimes you just gotta take it for what it is. Sources can be found in the show notes and at the bottom of the blog post that I mentioned on getcurrent.org. The first category of death omens are animals and insects. 1. Cats. If a cat lays at the foot of your bed, death is imminent. Black cats are often thought of as bad luck, which you probably have heard. And death is included in that belief. Personally, I don't believe that black cats are any less deserving of being adopted than other cats. Also, black cats crossing the path of a funeral means that another family member will die soon. Then there's a story, number 2, of the dying cat. It's said that Miss Hartnell lived in a massive house, and she wrote a non-fiction story called The Haunted Manor House in 1913. It was included in a 1993 publication of Mysterious Cat Stories. In it, she explores the depths of the mansion and ends up in a creepy hallway. In this hallway comes out of the darkness a mangled cat. It can't walk properly. It's missing some appendages. She saw this poor cat 3 times when she was exploring the mansion. And each time, someone in her family died. 3. Crows. You've probably seen this death omen in a lot of horror movies or stories. And a single crow is an omen of bad luck. But a large group of 5 or more, aptly called a murder of crows, means that illness or death is near. 4. Bees. If bees swarm a rotten tree, there will be a death in the family owning or living on the property that the tree is on within 1 year. Likewise, bees swarming a house are a sign of coming doom. I've also heard that about hornets, but you'll have to let me know what you think. 5. Roosters. If a rooster crows in the middle of the night, it's thought to be unusual and a sure sign of death. 6. Owls. If you dream of owls, this means impending death for yourself or those close to you. Hearing an owl hoot on your rooftop could mean a death in the household is imminent. The origin of this was a significant aspect of Native American culture due to owls' nocturnal nature. You'll see a common theme here of people just trying to explain phenomena or animals' behavior with some other intention or thing like that. 8, birds in general. A bird, any bird, sitting on your bedroom windowsill and tapping on your glass could mean your death is nigh. Dead birds that are reoccurring around you are also a sign of death and seen in many movies and stories as bad omens. I actually hit 2 goldfinches, which are my mom's favorite birds, sadly, of course, and I didn't even notice at the time, but my mom found them, and later my 2 grandmothers passed away. I don't know if that means it was a death omen or just a coincidence, but I've never hit another bird in my life, so just a coincidence, probably. 9, white moths. If a sneaky little white moth gets in your house, it may mean death for someone under your roof. 10, black butterflies. This death omen changes from one culture to another. But black butterflies are consistently thought of as a sign of impending doom and death. If it is in the house, a member of that household will die, or it may appear after a family member has already left the earth. Souls of deceased people, when they fail to find their place in the afterlife, are sometimes thought to come back as black butterflies. Just to mention, it's also part of folklore that witches turn into black butterflies in order to steal food. The origins of this were in Brazil, Colombia, Central America, China, and the Caribbean. Strange they all have the same idea. 11 is the Death Watch Beetle. If you hear a Death Watch Beetle tapping inside your walls on a sleepless night, death is near. The sound is associated with sleepless nights beside a dying person, and it's been interpreted as an omen of death or misfortune. You will also hear this death omen described as a sound of a ticking clock coming from the wall or piece of furniture. The origin of this particular death omen? Well, the Death Watch Beetle is a type of beetle that can damage wooden furniture and structures of buildings. They hit their heads against wood to attract their mates, and this can cause a tapping noise at nighttime. Before this was explained, it would seem like a bad omen, because people would hear this when they were up, laying beside their sick loved ones who were about to die. Similarly, it's said that if a beetle crawls across your shoe, even if it's not the aptly named Death Watch Beetle, it's said that death is in your near future. 12, white horses. If 2 white horses are pulling the hearse, a death will occur in the town within a month. 1 white horse? Also bad. A death will soon occur. You don't get a time frame with that one. If a white horse is in your stable, though, you will have good luck. But if you dream of a white horse, it's a sign of death. This death omen originated in Maine, England, and Bohemia, or a part of the Czech Republic. This is because pagan deities were once depicted as riding on white horses, and this is thought to have influenced these beliefs. White symbolizes all things heavenly or descending from heaven, so these white horses were going to take you into the afterlife. 13, white animals at night. A white animal of any species appearing at nighttime is a sign of impending death. The origin of this? Sussex, England. Now we move on to Earth, Sea, and Space. Number 14. The Rose's Bloom. The blooming of a rose within the home or during the fall season is an unusual occurrence, and therefore thought to be a death omen. You see, a lot of these are just unusual happenings that they try to explain, like I said before. Actually, any flower that blooms out of season could mean death to an interpreter. Therefore, when someone sees this, sometimes they pluck it to try and prevent the death. Do you think it would work? The origin of this death omen was in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Number 15, solar eclipses. Ancient people used to think that solar eclipses were a mysterious disturbance in the sky. In ancient Vietnam, people thought it was a giant frog swallowing up the sun. Vikings blamed wolves for gobbling down the sun. Ancient China thought it was due to a celestial dragon eating the sun. Ancient Greece thought angry gods were marking the beginning of disasters. All of these explanations for solar eclipses caused the phenomenon to be known as an omen of death and tragedy. Number 16, cedar trees. If a cedar tree dies in your yard, a family member will die soon as well. Then, if you try to remove the tree, you will die when the limbs grow to the length of your coffin. I guess a little bit taller than you. Number 17, Halley's Comet, or comets in general. Halley's Comet symbolizes a fiery sword that means war and death. Comets have been blamed for various disasters, including earthquakes, the birth of two-headed animals, and the Black Death in England. The origin of this death omen? Ancient cultures were baffled by comets, and many people believe that they are messages from gods. They interpreted images from these flying fireballs that they had never seen before and took them as death omens or signs. Number 18. Tide ebbs. It's believed that death only occurs when the tide ebbs. This originated along the New England, Portugal, and Great Britain coasts. The next category? Funerals, corpses, and deathbeds. Number 19. Rain on an open grave. This particular death omen points to an additional death in the family of the deceased within a year, or another burial will occur in that same cemetery within 3 days. Conversely, a common saying in England is, "Happy is the corpse the rain falls on." This belief persists in the US as well, and interprets rain on a grave in a positive manner. The origin of the death omen, however, was in Western New York and Maine. Number 20, the sun shining. Normally you wouldn't think of the sun shining as a death omen, but if you are at a funeral and the sun shines brightly on your face, you may be the next to die. Number 21, unburied corpses. If a corpse is kept in the home past Sunday, someone in the home will die by the end of the year. If a grave is left open past Sunday, another death will occur on the next Sunday, or in Switzerland, within 4 weeks, someone in the village will die. Origin of these death omens? Massachusetts and Switzerland. Number 22, late to the funeral. If you happen to arrive after a funeral procession starts, another death will occur in that same household as the deceased. Origin? Ohio. This is likely due to what is deemed impolite, as are several other of these similar death omens mentioned, so keep that in mind as we go along. Number 23, unwelcome early guests. If you're not part of the mourning party at a funeral, and you enter the church before the mourners do, some of the entering party will soon die. Origin? Massachusetts. Number 24, counting carriages. I guess this was back when carriages pulled the corpse or the coffin to the funeral. And if you counted the carriages, or I suppose cars these days, of a passing funeral procession, you will be dead within a year. This also originated in Massachusetts. Number 25, no rigor mortis. If no rigor mortis sets in the deceased body, a second death in the family will swiftly come. This originated in Great Britain and all across Europe. There are, in fact, instances in which rigor mortis does not occur. Rigor mortis is only avoided when the muscles are manually stretched before it sets in, or the person that is recently deceased has little muscle mass and is too frail for the muscles to completely stiffen. This is likely in older people and children. Cold temperatures can also prolong the process and stave off rigor mortis for a bit, allowing superstitious people to take this as a death omen in the meantime. Number 26, the last look. Did the person who died last lay their eyes upon you before they met their fate? You will be the next to die. Similarly, if the dying individual opens their eyes of their own accord, someone in the family will die soon. This also originated in Massachusetts, and it's likely perpetuated due to the long-standing practice of closing the deceased's eyes after death. Number 27, calling your name. If your name is the one last uttered by the dying person, you will soon follow in their footsteps. This originated in New Hampshire. Number 28, mourning hat, and I don't mean mourning like morning afternoon. I mean mourning like sad. If you put on the hat of a mourner as someone outside of the funeral, you will become a mourner yourself within the next year. Someone close to you will die. If you so much as try on a black bonnet or hat, that itself is a death omen. This also originated in Massachusetts. The next category, dreams. Number 29, muddy water. More often associated with negative emotions bubbling to the surface, dreaming of muddy waters can be a death omen. After all, some deaths do occur during times of despair and negative emotions. Number 30, loved ones visit. If you're into the paranormal, you've likely heard tales of loved ones visiting people in dreams. Sometimes this happens as a way for the person to let you know that they are safely on the other side. Maybe they have something to tell you, or maybe they want to see you before they cross completely over. Number 31, death. It seems obvious, but if you have precognitive dreams, dreaming about death could signal the death of that person in real life. Even dreaming of the death of an unrelated person, or animal even, could mean death is near in your waking life. Not all dreams mean the same thing, so don't freak out if these happen to you. They could be a coincidence come to fruition by a culmination of how you're feeling in your day-to-day life surfacing in your dreams. After all, no one really knows why we dream. Next category is household items and tasks. But before we get into those, since we're about halfway through, here's a word from our sponsor. Also, if you want to support the podcast, please go to getcurrent.org and donate as much as you can to get our initiative started with eco-friendly modern burial grounds. So back to death omens that are under the category of household items and tasks. Number 32, mirrors. While a corpse or coffin is in the home, presumably for a funeral within the home, all the mirrors must be turned facing the wall. This way, you cannot look into them and gaze upon your own reflection. It's said that if you do, you will die within 1 year. The origin of this was most common in Irish Catholic tradition, but it extends beyond this. Another death omen with mirrors. If three people look into a mirror at the same time, one of those three will die. This originated in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. You've also probably heard that breaking a mirror is bad luck, but in some cases, it can be a death omen. Breaking a mirror will purportedly either cause 7 years of bad luck or your death within 1 year. Sometimes it's thought that you will only die if the mirror breaks while your reflection is within it. This originated in Niagara Falls, Ontario, but it's widely known. Another mirror death omen. If a baby looks into a mirror or glass and sees its reflection before it's 1 year old, 1 year old, not 1 years old, it will die. I like how I laughed when I said that. It will die. The origin of this is Maine and Massachusetts. But in Germany, however, this means it will make the child grow to be a proud person. So take that as you will. Number 33, falling pictures. If pictures fall off the wall by themselves, the person in the picture will die soon. Number 34, scissors. If a sick person drops a pair of scissors and the blades stick in the floor, the person will die soon. Maybe just don't hold scissors while you're sick, just to be safe. This originated in central New York. Similarly, if scissors are left on the table with the blades open, it is said that this is the Archangel Michael's mouth gaping open, ready to take the soul of a member of the household. And this originated in Greece. It's a little more creative, I do say, myself. Number 35, the dishcloth on the doorknob. If a dishcloth is hung on a doorknob, it is a death omen for someone in that household. This also originated in Massachusetts. It likely came about due to the common practice of hanging a piece of cloth on the doorknob after someone passed. Number 36, hoe in the house. If you carry a hoe through the house, this is a sign of death before the year's end. I'm talking about the tool that you farm with, but I suppose this could be interpreted in many different ways. So just don't carry your hoe through the house, okay? Okay? This originated in Ohio. Number 37, split bread. When you bake a loaf of bread, if it splits across the top, someone in that home will die. This originated in Ohio, although it is a widespread idea over several locations that this indicates the death of a dear friend. Kind of sucks because I feel like a lot of bread splits on the top. I don't know. Number 38, broken glass. If you break a glass only while making a toast, it is a death omen, and it becomes a death omen for that person being toasted. Number 39, death crowns. This is something I haven't heard of, actually. It originated in Appalachia, which is where I was born, but I still hadn't heard of it. But they are masses of feathers, 3 to 5 centimeters in diameter, that look like crowns, basically just circles of feathers, that can be found inside of an ill person's pillow. And this means they will die within the next 3 days. It's thought that one way to break this omen is to break the crown. Actually, you can find some death crowns in museums today. The largest collection is in the Museum of Appalachia in Clinton, Tennessee. Number 40, fans. As inconspicuous as it seems, sleeping with a fan running and the windows closed will cause imminent death. But according to me, so many people do this, we must have broken the curse. This originated in Korea. Number 41, sewing faux pas. Working on a sick person's dress means that you will also die within that year. This originated in Massachusetts. Similarly, putting a thimble down on a table to take a break from sewing to eat is bad luck. The woman, it says, who does so is said to become a widow in the future. This originated in Maine. A lot of these originated in New England, which is interesting. I guess it's because they're a little bit older. If you know of any new death omens, let me know, because they probably happened in, like, Montana. Number 42, clocks. If your clock suddenly stops, your life just might do the same. Similarly, a clock should be stopped at the time of death. If you let it continue to run, it will cause bad luck for you. If a clock that has long been stopped starts to tick again, this is also thought to be a sign of impending misfortune or death. So just keep those batteries in your clocks and just stop them if someone dies. That's basically it. Or just use the clock on your phone. This originated in New Hampshire, Germany, and Great Britain. It's also interesting that these have, you know, migrated from place to place, or they originated in several different places. I wonder if it's from the same reason, or there's some truth to it. Number 43, bells. If you hear a bell ring by itself, of its own accord, it could be a death omen. This originated in Shropshire, England. I could be saying that wrong. Number 44, umbrellas indoors. Now, you've probably heard that it's bad luck to open an umbrella inside. However, if you drop that umbrella, it's supposed to be an omen of death. If you open the umbrella inside, especially above your head, it can also mean that death is near. This is one of the most popular death omens. This originated in Pennsylvania, but it's widely known, as I said. Number 45, 13 people sitting at a table. The person who stands up first will die within a year. The origin of this was Massachusetts as well, but it changes slightly dependent on where it's told. For instance, the youngest at the table is the one to die in Germany, sometimes. Number 46, singing at the table, which I feel like I've totally done this, but if you sing at a table while the rest of the family is eating, a friend will die. This originated in Iowa. Why, I don't know. I guess that happened, maybe? Number 47, lying on a table. If you lie on a table, like lay down on a table, you will be dead before the year ends. Like, this originated in Maine, and I guess it originated because it kind of symbolizes what happens to you after death. Number 48, opals. Opals were a gemstone denounced as a vessel of evil. It was widely believed that witches used opals to increase their magical powers and focus them on people that they wished to do harm. These gems resembled evil eyes or the eyes of cats and snakes, so they were often thought to be capable of maiming or killing the person that was wearing one. The Black Death was even blamed on opals. The origin of this was that opals can shift color, and the death omen attribution is likely caused by this. When someone would die with an opal around their neck, their body heat would change, and therefore the opal would change color. The only way to explain that? The opal was magical and evil. This makes me want to buy, like, an opal necklace, actually. Number 49 includes candles, lights, and fire, all kind of in one. So there are more than 64 death omens, but shh, don't tell anyone. If you unintentionally leave sparks in the ashes of a fire overnight, this is a death omen. It's possible that this became a belief due to the danger of leaving embers still glowing in a fire that is unattended. Don't do that. Make sure they're out. There's also a saying in Shropshire, England that goes, "It is unlucky to turn coals over when poking a fire, for then you turn sorrow to your heart." Also, if coals fly out of the fire, it is a death omen for the person whom it is directed toward. This originated in Maryland and Shropshire, England. However, in Prussia and Bohemia, the Czech Republic mentioned earlier, this is just a sign of someone soon to visit. Also, if you see a coffin shape in a candle's flame, it's supposed to be a death omen. This originated in Massachusetts as well. However, this is likely attributed to some black cinder that breaks off in the flame. More candle death omens. If you're sitting on the side of a candle where the wax drips, it is a death omen targeted specifically towards you. This is popular in the spiritual and paranormal communities. I hadn't heard of it, however, but I have heard of them using flickering flames to acknowledge the presence of a spirit. Also, if a candle flame burns blue, this is also seen as a death omen. The origin of this death omen likely came about because the flame of a candle burning dimly has always signaled doom and gloom, while a blue flame has signaled a spirit visiting. For instance, in Shakespeare's writing, he uses a lot of death omens, but one of them is when Brutus exclaims, "How ill this taper burns," as Caesar's ghost enters the scene. Even more about lights, if you have three lighted lamps in a row, they're a sign of death in the home. This can also indicate a future funeral, but other places view this as a sign of a wedding or greatness even. This originated in Germany, England, and Massachusetts. Also, if an unexplained light is seen in a carpenter's shop, which is probably a little different these days, but it means that we'll soon be working on a coffin. This originated in Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia. This is actually thought to be because the carpenter would turn on their light because in the middle of the night they would start hearing tapping in the boards. This was said to be the spirit letting them know of the recent death. Number 50, if your window shades fall. If your blinds fall down for no apparent reason, this could be a death omen. It could also be just shitty blinds. This also originated in Cape Breton, I don't know if I'm saying that right either, in Nova Scotia, Canada. The next category is about apparitions, ghosts, and unexplained phenomena. Number 51, death knocks. You've probably heard the superstition about hearing three knocks in a row when no one is there. This means that someone has died or is about to die. They are known as the death knocks, or the knocks of doom. This can happen on a wall, door, or window, and you often see this trope in horror movies and stories to signify paranormal activity of a dark entity. This originated in England, Scotland, in Jewish, Indian, Middle Eastern, African, and Native American beliefs. There's gotta be something to it then, right? Number 52, super interesting. Phantom funerals. So, phantom funerals are mysterious processions of ghosts taking the same route as a future funeral. So, not a funeral in the past, one that's going to happen. So, when people see it and actually recognize people in it as people in their lives, then they end up recognizing the same happenings during an actual funeral later. If you peek in the casket in the phantom funeral procession, you might see your own body inside and you would die soon after. Some churches are actually notorious as sites for phantom funerals. The ghostly parades are supposedly sent by goblins or fairies to unsettle humans. You might hear singing songs, sobbing, groaning, and tramping of feet. But there is a belief that these phantom funeral processions can only touch one sense at a time. For example, you will hear it and not see it, or vice versa. Number 53 is another very interesting one that I hadn't heard of, called corpse candles. This actually, I heard in the, I think it was either the Mile High or the Lights Out podcast, I think. Lights Out on the Berkshire UFO incident. Corpse candles are thought to be caused by swamp gas, and I know they mentioned swamp gas, and they didn't know what swamp gas was, something like that. But corpse candles are mysterious lights in the shape of white, blue, or yellow balls or candle flames that appear outside floating above the ground. They're thought to be messengers of doom and death. They will hover over home of a person who's about to die or halfway between the home of a person and their supposed eventual gravesite. If they're seen around boats of fishermen, those fishermen will soon drown. Sometimes corpse candles are seen leading phantom funerals. As I mentioned, the origin of this death omen is that these swamp gas lights could be an explanation. This usually happens in marshy areas, and it's also used to explain away some UFO sightings. Number 54, Bodach Glas, also known as the Dark Gray Man. A dark gray figure of a man, also known as the Gray Messenger, appears to people in order to signal death. This originated in Scotland. The first report of it was in October of 1861 by Lord Eglinton. Number 55, the Phantom Arm. There is a tale of unknown origin from 1930s Scotland of a disembodied limb coming out from the wall and pushing things over. The person who saw this had a relative who died a few days later. Number 56, the 6-foot skeleton. This story goes that a woman, Miss Coleman, in Oakland, California in the 1920s, came home on a break from work. She saw a 6-foot skeleton beside her two neighbors as they were chatting on the front lawn. Within a month, the the woman who the skeleton was touching was dead. Number 57, the Headless Horseman. Sleepy Hollow may have instantly come to mind, and that's because it was inspired by this legend. In the mid-1500s, Ewan McLean, was in the midst of a fight with his father over money. He came across a washerwoman that was washing clean clothes that ran red with blood in the river. This was seen as a bad omen as well for him. The rift between father and son divided the Scottish clan, and a battle ensued. Ewan's head was cut off during the battle, but his body was still on the horse. The beheaded corpse returned with the horse, and the people who witnessed this decided to also behead the horse and bury them together. It is said that the clan is still haunted by Ewan's presence when it is time for one of them to die. Number 58, the Woman in White. If you're a fan of the paranormal, you've probably also heard countless stories of seeing a woman in white as a ghostly apparition. I've mostly heard of it on the sides of highways and things like that, but apparently an apparition of a woman wearing all white means that death is near for the seer. This originated in Bohemia again, the Czech Republic, and 2nd century Rome. It was actually thought to be the survival of the death goddess Marana, appearing to those she chooses. The white garments symbolize heaven, kind of like the white horses we talked about. Or this could be due to the custom of dressing the dead in white. Similarly, dreaming of white garments while sick would mean imminent death for the dreamer. This was said by Artemidorus in an Interpretation of Dreams. I believe he was a 2nd century philosopher in Rome. Alright, number 59. We're getting almost to the end here. This is doppelgangers, or spirit doubles. You've probably also heard of those. And it was a theme in the movie Us that came out last year. Doppelganger translates to double walker in German, or double goer, I've also heard. And it quite literally means a double of yourself that lives in some other dimension. A literal duplicate of your being. If you see your doppelganger, it's said that you'll be met with death soon. One popular story is that Abe Lincoln saw two of himself in the mirror soon after he became president. His wife thought this meant he would be elected to a second term, but not survive it. And she was right. Sometimes, people close to someone that is near death will see a spirit that appears identical to that loved one. If this happens, you're not supposed to talk to them. Even if you see your own, don't talk to them. They may try to trick you or plant sinister ideas in your head. It's unknown what their intentions are, but you may not want to find out just in case. This originated in England and Germany, and I put a link in the blog post of more information about doppelgangers, and if you look up stories, there are some pretty crazy ones where people have seen doubles of themselves. They obviously live to tell the tale, so, you know. And finally, the last category, physical signs. Now, 60 is when babies are born a little differently. So children that are born with extra long fingers are a sign of an early death for them. Similarly, if babies happen to get their first tooth on the top of their mouth, that's a death omen. I don't know if that's rare, actually, but could be, I don't know. Also, if you trim your baby's nails too young, this is also a sign of death. This is of unknown origin. Number 61, sneezing before breakfast. If you sneeze before breakfast, only on Sunday morning, you will hear of a death before the next Saturday ends. This originated in Vermont. I'm assuming it happened to someone. Number 62, shivering. Getting the chills is apparently a sign that someone has walked over your future gravesite. But I've heard a lot of things being attributed to getting the chills, so the origin of this is unknown. Number 63, ears ringing. If your ears are ringing, this rings in your death, sometimes even before the end of that week. You'll sometimes hear it referred to as a death bell. This originated in Massachusetts. Number 64, a hairpin drop. If a bobby pin falls out of your hair, that is apparently a death omen, particularly a death omen of a close friend. Since we're all losing our bobby pins pretty much all the time, I feel bad for our friends. Good thing I have none. This originated in several locations. Alright, that wraps up 64-ish death omens. I know there are probably more mixed in there. Tried to put them into categories, but did you notice some themes throughout? As I read through them and I speculated about their origins, it became clear to me that they're all inspired by one thing: a fear of the unknown. Whether that's due to not understanding a particular phenomenon or trying to simply justify why someone died in the first place, it's clear that humans are searching for answers. Does this take away the legitimacy of death omens? Here's some other common themes I noticed. Explaining animal behavior, New England, I already mentioned. I was also thinking about how maybe it was around the witch trials, and there was just the mania surrounding magic and evil and the devil and all that. Why was New England so superstitious? I think I know, but we won't go into that. Sicknesses. So if someone was sick, you would always see death omens, but that usually meant that they would die back when there was no treatment. And also, family members dying around you could mean another death in the family. That could also be attributed to sicknesses. So have you experienced a death omen for yourself? Are there any that I missed that you haven't heard of? You can tweet me at howtoburyabody on Twitter, or DM me on Instagram at howtoburyabody or at bethomens. That would work too, since we're talking about death omens. If you've experienced a death omen firsthand, like I said, please reach out to me. You can find us on... I already said that. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter, as well as contact us at getcurrent.org, or comment on the blog post, even. You can also send in a voice memo on the How to Bury a Body podcast page. There's also an option to support the podcast to keep us going. Just click message and let us know your thoughts for a chance to be included in a future episode. You can find more sources in the show notes. And until next time, stay safe. Don't bury any bodies. See you soon.